Usually, when I don't want to prepare a podcast and write it out, I do something called a walk and talk. Well, during the winter, walk and talks are no fun because it's just not like doing it in the summer. So what we do in the winter is we do something called the sit and talk, where I just sit and talk, and it is time to do that kind of a podcast in podcast 793, the Bob Davis podcast, first podcast back after the holiday break, and I took a few extra days. And so we're going to get back on the horse, the podcast horse, in podcast 793. If you were home at any time during the holiday season, I took 5 days off and I just relaxed here. I didn't really do anything. In fact, I didn't even intend to take 5 days off. I just did, and I'm talking about a lot in this podcast. But if you spent any time at home, you probably looked around and said, wouldn't it be great if we had a garage that was finished so we could go out there and watch Vikings games, or we had, you know, the upstairs finished so when we had guests, they could stay out there, or we built a new kitchen, or we built a new bathroom downstairs. What are your dreams? Well, to build your dreams, you need a builder who's going to be by your side from start to finish so that your expectations are met. And so I'm introducing a new sponsor to the Bob Davis podcast, Whitetail Builders. With Whitetail, the process is just as important as the end result. I know that because I know Randy Graybaugh from Whitetail, and I know this is what he does. So I'm happy to refer you to Whitetail Builders of Andover, Minnesota. They're online at whitetailbuildersinc.com. There's a contact page there. You can leave your number and you can tell Whitetail your dreams, or you can just call Randy at 612-282-8801, 612-282-8801. Whitetail is focused on details because details are so important, especially when you see the finished product, and Whitetail will be there with you every step of the way. So, like I said, lots of people in the house over the holidays. You're thinking about adding a bathroom, even if it's a simple thing, maybe a new deck, maybe a man cave. You want to talk to Whitetail Builders. Call Randy Graybaugh at 612-282-8801, 612-282-8801. They are focused on details. They will be with you every step of the way to make sure it gets done right. Whitetail Builders. Click on the banner at the top of the page at the Bob Davis Podcast. Podcast.com or check out WhitetailBuildersInc.com. Well, you know, I'm going to talk about the president a little bit in the press conference, the Kafka-esque press conference, but he was definitely talking about trade protection and tariffs, and this is wreaking havoc with overseas manufacturers, but manufacturing has been improving, and so it's an opportunity for me to talk about DepoStar. If you're looking for an American manufacturer, look no further than DepoStar right here in Minnesota. American design, engineering, and manufacturing. Visit their website at DepoStar.com, DepoStar.com, or click on the DepoStar banner at the top of the page at the BobDavisPodcast.com. It'll take you to their page. Well, the truth be known, I started this podcast and then I stopped it because I didn't like it. And I didn't like it because I started talking about politics. And we are in a situation right now where we're kind of in a free fall until certain things happen. And I don't want to talk about them. I have had a truly Kafka-esque experience, to quote Jesse Pinkman in Breaking Bad, over the last few days, because I've been keeping up with the news and kind of paying attention to what's going on. And it is a surreal experience to listen to the president, to listen to these idiot reporters who are outdoing each other for being absurd and for absurdity and theater of the absurd. And then all of the cavalcade of commentary and editorials and supposedly news stories and videos that are spurred every time this president says anything or every time anything happens, whether it's real or not real. And it is becoming increasingly difficult to determine what is actually real and what actually isn't real. So I have decided that what I'm going to do is just wait until there's at least a short-term resolution. I honestly feel that we are in a free fall. And I started talking about this before, which that podcast is gone. I destroyed it. I deleted it. And I ended up trying to explain to people with examples of why we are in a Kafkaesque environment, why we are in a completely absurd environment. And so in order to do that, then I go down the rabbit hole of trying to explain, you know, fact checks and who said what and what my experience was. And I get about halfway. I got about 14 minutes into it. And I'm like, this sucks because this is not what I wanted to talk about. I didn't want to talk about this stuff. I'm not going to sit here and fact check the president. I'm not going to sit here and fact check idiots like Bill O'Reilly. I'm not going to sit here and try to talk about the latest Q posts and the YouTube stuff. And I'll do one of those podcasts at some point, but that is not how I want to start the year. The other thing is, that when you take a few days off from podcasting, it isn't like, hey, Monday I have to start doing my radio show again. It's more like, I want to do a podcast, but I don't know what I want to do a podcast about. And so you're thinking, trying to figure out what you're going to do a podcast about and how it's going to work and what you're going to say and whether you should write it out, whether you should do some research. And usually for me, that equation is not just sitting down and talking, which I can do, and which I can do about politics, but trying to lift the vibration or advance the story a little bit. And without being too complicated and without providing too many examples, you know, Bill O'Reilly is doing this podcast and it's on YouTube. And, you know, what's funny about it is it's a guy in front of a microphone, which, you know, how I feel about that. If you're going to use, you know, here you have YouTube, which is television. And so you have this incredible opportunity, if you have any resources at all, to use the medium of digitally delivered television programming with audio to an audience, a huge audience. And what does Bill O'Reilly do? He sits in front of a giant, cheap microphone. it's the one that looks like a spaceship, and it's a terrible microphone. And you know, it's just like, oh my god, you know, you've got all the resources in the world, and this is what you decided to do with YouTube. And I really laughed because, you know, if you don't know that only 25% of the government, the federal government, is shut down at this time, then you really have been on vacation for the last 4 or 5 days. And so yesterday, Bill O'Reilly posts this video that says, you know, I'm going to tell you that the, you know, breaking news, the only 25 to 30% of the government is shut down. And I just burst out laughing because it's that's what goes on. Whether it's Victor Davis Hanson writing about last month's issue that's now been resolved or forgotten about, and he's going to write an editorial about it and somehow tie it to classicism. Bill O'Reilly with a giant cheap microphone and, you know, doing a YouTube video to tell you that 25% of the government is shut down, which you should probably already know by now, especially if you are a news and politics and society type of listener. It's just unbelievable to me. So it is absurd and it is surreal. And I could say, I think we're cruising for a bruising. I could say a lot of things, and I could write a podcast about that, and I could do research on it and provide examples and audio clips and everything else, and it would just be the same thing that everyone else is doing. So I decide in these instances to wait until there is a resolution or a new waypoint. And, you know, I did a spate of podcasts after the election because that was a waypoint. Right? You know, everybody thought Trump was going to win the House and maintain the House, and because this is what they were being told. And, you know, I went through all those podcasts where I looked at the polls and talked about how it was going to be close. And then afterwards said, none of those polls suggested that the Democrats should have won 40 seats. They suggested they were close races, and it's entirely the fault of the National Republican Congressional Committee, and it's entirely the fault of the President of the United States. Those two things did more to really hurt the Republican performance than anything else. And I did a podcast about how I think philosophically the Republicans are bankrupt at this point. Do I need to do that again? No. You can go find those podcasts at thebobdavispodcast.com and you can listen to them. I don't need to do it again. So what I'm doing now is I am impatiently tapping my booted foot, waiting for the next thing to sort of happen that provides some level of resolution, because anything else is literally theater of the absurd, where you have a president that fires a steady stream of statements that have to be fact-checked. And most of the time, when you fact-check them, if you know how to fact-check them yourself, well, that's all I'll say. You hear these things for what they are, which is a steady stream of nonsense most of the time. And of course, the reporters are trying to ask questions that don't make any sense. And then you end up, what do I end up having to do? A podcast about this absurd, you know, press conference, or a podcast about these absurd statements about things that, you know, may or may not be true, or portions of which were true, or portions of a question that was asked were true. You know, you have people upset because, you know, a person who was in college and then became a congresswoman was dancing on a roof of a building when she was in college, and it's just, oh, this is the worst possible, the decorum, this is terrible, and on and on and on. And it's just like, you never danced in college, and you never, I would hate to find out what people would say about me when I was 19, and the things that I did and the things that I said when I was 19 years old. I'd hate to know that, especially if I was a congressman and a prominent Republican congressman, and thought, you know, that if I was a prominent Republican senator, and I thought that I had risen above all that, I would hate to go back to when somebody like that was 18 or 19, and the tools that exist today with YouTube and video and social media exist, to go back to the 60s, let's say, and exist to show the kinds of things that Orrin Hatch may have said. I wouldn't want to know. And I'm not saying Orrin Hatch said anything. I'm just saying he's the oldest guy I can think of that is just going to be stepping down this week, as a matter of fact, retiring from the Senate. So, you know, I'm not saying he said anything. I'm just saying I'd hate to be somebody that age. You know, when people who are millennials today are 60, 70, a lot of their lives will be recorded and there for posterity's sake, for anyone to go rifling through their social media and their, you know, the existing stuff that may still be on the internet, and find that party way back in 2008 and put that up there when you were 15 or 16. So those guys are, you know, are going to be very unlucky when it comes to whatever exists in terms of government 50 years from now. And I guess what I'm trying to say is that it's, if you want to advance the story, then you have to be careful about firing on things that are in progress. For example, and I'll give you one example. So the president made a big deal over the holidays about withdrawing 2,000 U.S. troops from Syria, where they are assisting the Kurds. So when we say troops, for example, there was another headline that said, we're sending troops to Africa. We are sending 60 personnel to Africa to probably provide security and some other things for some sensitive assets that we have there. I don't know what they are. Couldn't tell you. We have 2,000 troops in Syria, and they are advising and providing support to the Kurdish fighters who are doing most of the fighting against ISIS. Yes, there are some special forces personnel there, but if they were there, you wouldn't know that they were there anyway. They're deployed secretly, and they're deployed so that they can do their job, and we are never to know. You know, they're on a confidential mission. Usually they're announced after the fact if somebody is wounded or killed, or if it goes wrong, that's when you find out that the special forces have been there. So I know the special forces are in Syria just because we've seen stories about it, but they're not withdrawing the troops from Syria. As a matter of fact, just today, John Bolton is now walking that back, and the president even said, we're not going to withdraw the troops until we've beaten ISIS. So this whole thing that went on with people writing editorials about why we should withdraw the troops from Syria, and editorials about why the president's right and people shouldn't be attacking him for wanting to withdraw the troops and so forth and so on, turns out it was a false alarm. We're not going to withdraw the troops from Syria, quote unquote, until ISIS is beaten. So now, is Russia unhappy or happy? You know, what are the Iranians going to do? Is it going to be a flashpoint? Are the Turks upset again? You know, so this is what I'm talking about. So if you fire too quickly on something, it's almost always walked back. There's always a chapter two to everything that happens these days. Everything that goes on has a chapter two, and you have to wait for the other foot to fall, the other shoe to fall, in order to be able to say, okay, here's what we know. You know, all through the election season, people were making statements about what was going to happen and what wasn't going to happen and what you, you know, predicting the future constantly. This is what's going to be. It's going to be this. It's going to be that. It's going to be that. Some people were right. But, you know, even a broken clock is right twice a day, right? So people were making all kinds of predictions and people were getting all upset and upset about things people were saying and everything else. And then we had an election and a result was delivered. And, you know, all that stuff has been tamped down. And now it's about what they're going to do once they're in there and all these things that are going to happen. And this is how we live in this country today. This is why people are so tired of politics, because it is a constant subtext playing in your head about things that are supposedly happening or not happening. Is my job going to be in danger because we got rid of NAFTA? Or is my job going to get better because we got rid of NAFTA? Is my business going to do better because of the president that said this, or did he do it, or didn't he do it? Is the tax cut bill actually going to produce a result or not? And nobody knows because of so much, you know, chaff that is being thrown up, and it's so confusing that nobody really can figure out what's going on. Now, I'm not going to go into detail with that stuff because I don't need to, because if you have half a brain, you can search all those things and you've already come to the same conclusion. But I will say in the second half of this podcast, I'm just going to say quickly, what I think, and then we're going to move on to Route 66, which is what I've been watching on television during this entire time. And that's really what I wanted to talk about. So we'll do that in the second half of this podcast. We have been lucky this winter so far. We have been lucky because we only had about 1 week of really cold weather, and even that wasn't that cold. It was still pretty much above zero. And now we've just had a week of really balmy winter weather, which does happen. But we are in the middle of a season of climate change, and I'm not talking about climate change. I'm talking about winter in Minnesota. And I have lived here many, many, many years. I've lived in the Midwest my entire life. And so I have seen, I've seen Aprils where it was 75 degrees, and I've seen Aprils where it was, you know, there was a foot of snow on the ground last April, actually. And I have seen warm Januaries and Decembers, and I've seen it plummet, and I wouldn't be surprised if it goes below zero for a long time here at some point. And when that happens, your systems are going to be taxed. This is when you have plumbing or heating problems, water heater, heating issues like furnaces and so forth. These things go out because they are working 24 hours a day, and especially when it gets really cold, they work really, really hard. And this is a long introduction to remind you that Ryan Plumbing and Heating takes care of those systems, because when it comes to keeping all of them running right at home or at your business, that means Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. You call 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. I always give you those two numbers, and then I say that they've gone back by four generations in St. Paul. But the thing I want to remind you is Ryan goes across the metro, the up and down. They can get you if you're in Burnsville or Eagan. They can get you if you're in East St. Paul. They can get you if you're in Plymouth or Hopkins. They can get you if you're in Maple Grove. Call Ryan Plumbing. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems. Residential and business, yes, they're online at ryanplumbing.com. And what kind of a new year would it be if I didn't mention that I hate my printer? And I hate it because I hate paying for print cartridges. This has been the bane of my existence for a long time. I'm in business for myself. I really pay attention to the money I spend, and print cartridges are ridiculous. And when I was working on the radio, you know, I used probably 3 print cartridges a month, and that gets expensive. And so printing, you develop this hatred for your printer, because you know when that print cartridge goes bad, it's going to cost you a fortune. Guess what? Cartridge World in Maple Grove can save you up to 30% compared to the big box stores. It's a great deal. Cartridge World cartridges are guaranteed to perform as good as new. I personally, they can't say this, but I can tell you, the one I have, performs better than the one that I used to have to buy at the big box office supply store, which is a giant ripoff. Free delivery on qualifying orders, Cartridge World to Maple Grove off of Weaver Lake Road between Dairy Queen and Subway. Yes, you can get service from Cartridge World if you're listening someplace like Butte, Montana or Richmond, Virginia. 763-420-6632, 763-420-6632. Ask for Jason or click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com. So what's the upshot of all this Kafka-esque, theater of the absurd experience that if you pay any attention to politics, we are having right now? Now, if you're inside it, if you're part of it, you can make tons of arguments about what this guy said and what that guy said and what this is going to do and what that's going to do and why this one is doing this and why that one is doing that. I don't even care. It's just, again, 25 years from now, people are going to listen to that and go, what were these people smoking? What on earth was wrong with them? Don't get me started. Were they on too much Xanax or, how could they have been just completely distracted to this degree by this craziness? And that's what I think all this is. I think all this is a distraction. I think we have a president and we have people who are pushing buttons and pulling levers and doing things because they think it's the right thing to do or because they want to get a result. And I think sooner or later there is going to be a result. And I have predicted, and this is as far as I'll go with predictions, I have predicted that there, first of all, every single presidency experiences a major crisis. I don't think Trump has had his major crisis. I think that the nature of politics today is very reactive. It's very much about the internet and the social media systems. And I think these guys are pushing buttons and pulling levers. And in a world that didn't have the internet and a world that didn't have social media, sooner or later, pushing buttons and pulling levers because you think they're hooked up to something, whether they are or they aren't, government shutdowns, yelling at the Fed chair, firing people, moving people around, people resigning, making statements that aren't true, that would have an effect at some point. That would sooner or later have some kind of a deleterious effect on society. It's just it's too much volatility from people who are supposed to be leading. Whether you agree or disagree with these antics, which are Kafka-esque, whether it's the president or it's Nancy Pelosi or it's this, some new congressman screaming that they're going to impeach the mofo and everything else, this theater of the absurd that is known as Washington, I think it's doing. There's two things going on. One, it is reducing the faith people have in their leaders. It is eroding the credibility of the institution of government in this country. Maybe it should be, but it is hastening a potential crisis point where people simply don't have any faith in their government. They lose faith in their government completely. There's that. The second thing is the idea that this would produce either an international crisis of some kind that's unexpected because of these levers and buttons, or a financial or economic crisis. I tend to lean toward the economic crisis scenario because I think 90% of the U.S. problems in our society and 90% of the quote-unquote problems in our society are related to economics. And it isn't that there are too many rich people. It is that there is too much government. There are too many barriers to progress. There are too many instances where the government is stepping in and picking winners and making decisions with subsidies, laws, regulations, and all these other things. And I don't know how to withdraw it. And I think it's going to produce an economic crisis at some point. And I do not think the response to it will be effective. And I do not think that if we have an economic crisis, the prognosis for the country is very good, at least the prognosis for liberty. And that's my own personal feeling. I'm experimenting with, and I'm not really there, and I'm not really ready to talk about it. But I am experimenting with the idea that we may be living in a post-government era, in the beginning of an era when government may be, to a large degree, completely unnecessary. That isn't to say that we need to get rid of it. I'm saying that it is dissolving, it's losing credibility because much of what it does has negative effects or no effect at all. And I don't want to go into that too much in detail, but I think that we're moving further and further away from solving our economic problems as opposed to these other things that we're messing around with, these populist, cultural issues. And I think that's very bad. And is Trump a symptom? Yes. I don't think Trump is the reason so much as I think he's a symptom of a complete lack of faith in government. And I think the same is true with what has happened to the Democratic Party in this country. And that's all I'm going to say. I think there is going to be a crisis. I just don't know when. And I'm not going to make a prediction because I don't know when. I just have a feeling. I mean, it could be tomorrow. It could be 10 days from now. People thought it was going to happen last week because of the markets. I don't know enough about the markets to know whether the stock market is a harbinger or not. I put up that podcast about the Titanic and World War I because in a very similar way, I hate to say it, but in a very similar way, there was an elite governance of Europe at just about the time World War I came about. So when the Titanic sunk just 2 years later, the leadership, the elite leadership of Europe, bumbled its way into probably, certainly up to that point, the most horrific conflagration that the world had ever seen, up to and including the U.S. Civil War, which was a more dangerous war and a more bloody war per capita. But in terms of the world and the pestilence that World War I released, and the stupidity and the short-sightedness of the leadership in Europe in particular, it was unrivaled and pretty much is unrivaled throughout the 20th century. The only thing that was worse was World War II. And a lot of people would argue that World War II was merely, an extension of World War I, and that in the interwar period, the colonial nations of Europe, the monarchies of Europe, just sort of continued down a path that without World War I, you wouldn't have had fascism and on and on and on. Don't have time to get into that in this podcast. That is in the Titanic podcast. But I wonder whether we in the United States are in a similar situation where we have people at the top of our society who have made a career out of being elected, made a career out of being, the elite rulers of America. And I hesitate to say that because it sounds populist. But I believe that we are bumbling our way into a very serious crisis, and we'll just have to wait and see. Okay, enough of that. So guess what I've been doing? The whole time I have been on vacation, I have been watching Route 66. I don't know when I discovered it. I think I discovered it Friday night or Friday or Thursday or maybe even Saturday morning. I discovered that four seasons of Route 66, which is the 1960s show with George Maharis and Martin Milner, one of the guys that later went on to fame in Adam 12, toured the country in a Corvette. And all I remember about the show was the Corvette. That was it. And I love the show because of the Corvette and the theme music. And it was all about this whole sort of concept in 1960, which was popular because of the song Route 66. And people started to take to the roads because for the first time in history, most of the state highways and the beginnings of the superhighways were built, and you could tour the country relatively safely. So two young guys could take a car and travel the country in relative ease. We had chain motels. This is by 1960, 61. We had chain motels, and we had Travelers, and we had Howard Johnson's, and we had Kentucky Fried Chicken, and stuff like that. Perry Davis cafeterias in the South and stuff like that that were pretty well advanced. And the idea that you could travel the country in a car was still a revolutionary idea. And I have been fascinated. Like, I am fixated on this show, partially because I love to travel. But the other thing I think is, I think somebody should remake Route 66. It's on Amazon Prime. And I'm wondering whether they put it up there because somebody's going to remake the show. And so I have a couple of different questions about Route 66. So would you remake? So if you're gonna, if you know the show, and if you're of a certain age, you know the show, right? You know Route 60. All the car guys watched it. It was that kind of a show because the Corvette was the star of the show. These guys had a 59 Corvette that, 60 Corvette that they toured the country in, And, you know, that's basically the show. I mean, they're just driving around, getting into situations. And it was written in such a way that it's in an odd sort of way, it's written like Twilight Zone. There's a moral message, or, you know, even Gunsmoke. There's a moral message. There's a resolution of the moral message, you know, by the end of the show. And it's not just two guys driving around getting into fights. You know, they get into a fight in every show, but there's action, there's travel, there's all these different places that they go to. So I'm sitting there watching the show, and I'm you know, pulling up the plate, because they go to real places. They go to down to Louisiana. I forget what it's called, Isle something, and then they go out to the Yakima Valley. And so I'm sitting there with Google, like, looking up the places that they're going, and I'm going, oh my God, I've been there. I remember, I've been there, you know. And so that's really great. But I was thinking the whole time, like, if I was going to remake the show, would I remake it as a 60s throwback, like Mad Men, and find two guys that seemed like were like Milton and deepen their characters? So Martin Milner was kind of wide-eyed and a college boy, and George Maharis was this hard-bitten Brooklyn, you know, street fighter who grew up in a street fighter who grew up in an orphanage. And, you know, they're just friends because they work for his dad, and his dad died and bought him this Corvette, and that's all he has left from his dad. And so he's driving around the country. So would you deepen their characters and make them deeper and more multidimensional? Or would it be a guy and a girl, or two women? Would it be two women touring the country, you know? And what I'm thinking is, you know, I follow a lot of these people on YouTube that are, you know, traveling in converted buses or converted vans, and they're all over the place. They're surfing, or they're going up into the mountains in California, or they're in the desert. Would you take a young couple that was van life, you know, and make it about van life? And so they're touring the country, getting into all these situations. So I hope somebody decides to remake Route 66, because it is one of America's great TV shows. And it's not. So here's the thing. Why would you remake it? So Twilight Zone is, you can't remake Twilight Zone, because Twilight Zone is so amazing that you would never want to remake it. You can do, what's the show on, what the heck is it called? Black Mirror, which is essentially Twilight Zone, but it's not Twilight Zone. I mean, they're news stories. You can't remake Twilight Zone, because Twilight Zone is perfect as it is, even in black and white. And I have watched all the Twilight Zones, and they are impeccable, right? Even though we're living in a Twilight Zone today, as witnessed by the first half of this podcast. Yeah, you know, the Twilight Zone, you cannot make it better. You know, they try to make a movie, it's not that great. You just can't remake Twilight Zone. But Route 66 is not a very good show. Yeah, it's okay, but it was not shot with the same production values as Twilight Zone, because a lot of Twilight Zone really could have been played on a stage. Route 66 was shot on the road, on location, and so there's a lot of problems associated with it. Like, for example, the first year the Corvette was blue, and the producers found out that it reflected too much light from the sky, because the sky is also blue, and it was shot in black and white. So they switched cars, and they gave these guys in the second and third season, I think, a brown Corvette, because it didn't reflect as much light. See what I'm saying? So, and they didn't want it to be black, because then it would be hard to determine, you know, it might be sinister. So the production values aren't that great, and, you know, so, and the situations they get in aren't so great. Like, there's this one episode where Grand Isle, Louisiana, they go on a fishing boat, and the fishing boat captain is a woman. And George Maharis spends the entire show trying to tell this woman she can't be a sea captain because she's a woman, and that women have to be soft, they can't be hard, and all that. I mean, that would never fly today, right? You could not have that. That's the kind of stuff. So it's very dated. The content is somewhat dated, and the writing is somewhat dated. Some of them are pretty, you know, forward-thinking, but most of it's very topical, and so it's very limited. So you've got a clean slate to start over with Route 66. And Route 66 still exists, although it doesn't go from coast to coast. Like, it doesn't go from New York to LA or something, or whatever it was, Chicago to LA, like it did back in the day. So it was the most famous highway in America, part of the national highway system. And there are many other great highways like 66, Route 8, and others that wind their way across America at different places. And then, of course, the national highway system was superseded by the superhighways. But so nobody talks about that because you can't ride around in it. It's not like you're on back roads. So I wholly and enthusiastically urge somebody listening in Hollywood to remake Route 66. I've given you a couple of ideas, and I hope they do it because I would love to see it. Anything to escape the Kafka-esque insanity of the current political milieu in America. Remember, it's going to get cold again, and that means that your heating and your plumbing and your water heater is going to be taxed. Don't forget Ryan Plumbing and Heating if you need emergency service. Ryan's customers get first dibs on the service. 651-224-4771. That's 651-224-4771 in St. Paul, in Minneapolis. Call 612-927-6488. 612-927-6488. Ryan Plumbing and Heating, metro-wide from St. Paul. Well, there have been some new wrinkles in terms of where you can get the Bob Davis podcast. You can get them on Spotify, and that stays up to date. You can get them on Google Play Music, and thus the Google Podcast app, if and when you're using it on your Android devices. I mention this because I have a feeling Spotify is going to work better for Androids than Stitcher.com. Stitcher is slow to pick up the new podcast, and there have been some issues with Stitcher playing the podcast all the way through. Of course, iTunes is always available for you guys on iOS, and there's a lot of you tune in. Also works with Alexa. So a lot of podcasters say, well, we're on Alexa now. Yes, and we have been on Alexa with TuneIn from the beginning because Alexa works with TuneIn. So yes, you can find the Bob Davis podcast by using Alexa, which of course is all part of the Illuminati conspiracy, but more about that later. And I appreciate the likes and the shares and the favoriting and the following on Facebook and Twitter. And the shares are really, really, really important. So those of you that are sharing the podcast, when I post the thing that says click on the link to hear the podcast on Facebook, if you share that on your page, it really helps me. And I appreciate that. Thanks also for your donations for Mobile Podcast Command. I thanked all you guys at the end of the year. And thanks for listening to Podcast 793, the Bob Davis Podcasts.